Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to go ahead and kind of get prepared here. Turn them to 2 Corinthians and just kind of maybe right there about chapter 4. And we will get there here in just a moment. How many know that sometimes in life, we become discouraged? Anybody ever been there before? You see, I think sometimes we become discouraged because we don't, or maybe we can't see at the moment, any return from what we deem is our investment or our sowing process. Maybe we've come to a spot where we feel like we've been investing a lot, or we've been sowing a lot into a particular area of life, and we're just not seeing the return on that, and we're wondering, what's the deal? Anybody ever felt like you were really pouring into your family, but you weren't seeing the results within the family structure? Maybe you felt like you were really pouring into your marriage, only at that moment you really weren't seeing any of the results of you sowing those good seeds into your marriage. Or maybe your job, you felt like you were giving it 110%, only there was really nothing that was being noticed or produced. There was no return for your investment for the hard work. Or maybe you found a hobby and you really liked the hobby, but the hobby didn't like you back. Maybe you've been there. I don't know, all right? I've tried a few things, thought I would start a new hobby, and they didn't like me back, all right? So I had to give up. You see, sometimes maybe in our spiritual walk with the Lord, we feel like we've been putting in, but we really haven't been getting out. And can I be honest with you? Sometimes even as a pastor within ministry, sometimes it feels like, man, I've been investing, I've been sowing, but I'm not getting back. And I don't know if you've been there or not. I would think that if you've lived life for any time at all, maybe you have been there. And the truth is, I think we kind of feel like that old saying, man, I can't win for losing. Anybody ever said that? This morning, I couldn't win for losing just by wearing this beautiful shirt that was gifted to me this week. Because before I made it to the pulpit this morning, 3 or 4 people said, you look just like Virgil Kincaid. And this morning, I say thank you. All right? My dad's a pretty awesome guy, and so for me, that's a compliment, all right? But sometimes we get to that point in life and we feel like, man, I cannot win for losing, all right? Now, I got a short little clip this morning that I want you to take a look at here.
I don't want to get paid to lose. I want to win!
I need professional help.
I don't want to be paid to lose. I want to win. I need professional help. How many have ever felt like you just need a professional help? Okay, maybe it's just me this morning. You see, as I prepared this week, I actually prepared for a completely different thing. And then the Lord had laid this on my heart at the beginning of the week. And it turns out that I needed it, all right? But I thought, to be honest with you, I thought that this was just for me until about Thursday, and then I realized this was more than just for me, all right? But I have to confess, as I did to my wife and a few others this week, you know, there's that point where you just get, you're like, man, I want to win. But as I was telling my wife and a few others this week, even in my dreams, I couldn't win this week. And let me give you an example. I'm a dreamer. I mean, every night I have at least one, if not multiple dreams, all right? I've been that way ever since I was a kid. And how many know sometimes in your dream, you are the champion? You are the baddest, most awesomest person in the world, right? Well, this week in my dreams, I couldn't even win in simple life scenarios in my dreams. Let me give you an example. For instance, I was at a church softball game in one of my dreams this week. And I was up to bat, and I was like, perfect, the most beautiful hit you could ever ask for. And so I knew that I was in a good position. So, I'm running for first base. And the outfielder misses the throw, or well, rather the first baseman misses the throw from the outfielder. So, man, I turn first base. I'm running second. Well, then they try to throw me out at second, but they missed the play again. So I'm like, this is mine. I'm going all the way home. And so I round second base, and I am just booking. And in my dreams, I'm really fast. Anybody ever really fast in your dreams? All right. And so I'm rounding third, and I'm excited because I know that I'm so fast and they so missed that last catch that there is no way that I'm not fixing the score. And I'm like, and right about the time I was fixing to cross the plate, the catcher catches the ball and tags me, I'm out. I couldn't even get an infield home run in my dreams this week. You see, I couldn't win for losing, or at least that was my perception, all right? Now, In the Greek language, all right, scripturally, we find a word, all right? Now, we would know that word as faint, all right? But in the Greek, it is pronounced something along the lines of ekakio, all right? And that means that you have become weary, all right? Or you have turned out to be a coward, or you have lost your courage. But it also means this, to be faint-hearted or despondent in view of trials or difficulties. How many knows that life brings trials and difficulties? For each of us here at a varied level and degree, I'm sure, but we all face those elements of faintness, faint-hearted, those things that bring that despondency to our life. And they come in those forms of trials and difficulties and challenges. And again, they're not very selective sometimes. They just kind of randomly show up, if you will, or it seems that way, in pretty much any and every area of our life. Nothing seems to be off limits, but that ekakio, all right, moments, they do come from time to time. How many knows that we experience those types of moments, even as full-blown believers in Jesus Christ, we face those moments of faint-heartedness or despondency in our lives. And again, they may be simple, unrealistic feelings at some point. This week, my feelings were unrealistic. I had no reason to believe this week, other than my horrible dreams that I could not win in, all right, that I couldn't win for losing. That was something I placed upon myself this week that was unrealistic. Now, at other times, that could be the cold, hard fact of your situation. Yes, there is a trial that is very real. There is a difficulty, very real. And the cold, hard fact is you are, at this present moment, you seem to be losing your battle, if you will, all right? You see, either way, whether it's unrealistic or it's a cold, hard fact, we have to remain in these moments, and we have to remain in a position or a place where we don't become fainted of heart, where we don't become despondent in our heart. You see, we must remember some other cold, hard facts this morning, and that's what I want to try to present to you. So if you will, I want you to first turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to read a couple verses out of chapter 3 first, verses 4 through 6, and then we're going to read a verse in chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, beginning in chapter 3, verse 6. Oh, I'm sorry, let me go back. Let me do it. Let me go all the way back to 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of our own selves to think of anything being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, my sufficiency is from God. All right, now, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Somebody say new covenant and say the spirit gives life. All right, now verse 4 and 1, or chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now, if you have a King James Version this morning, it says that we faint not, all right? We do not lose heart. We faint not. Now, if we go back, we say, okay, well, what does that really mean? If we go back and look at chapter 3, verse 6, I want to break that down before I break down verse 1 in chapter 4, because it says that he has made us sufficient. How many believes that you are made sufficient? Can I be honest with you this week? I ran into some moments where I felt like or forgot that I was made sufficient. But you see, God began to bring through his word and remind me, hey, ding dong, wake up. I have made you sufficient. That word means to equip one with adequate power to perform. Amen. To equip one with adequate power to perform. Can I tell you this morning that no matter what trial you may be facing this morning, God has equipped you with the power to perform. And not under equipped. It says you are adequate. You're more than enough in that moment to do what is necessary. It goes on to say that he has made us sufficient ministers, all right? And you're like, no, that's you. You're the pastor. You're the minister. But this is a general term. This isn't a specific term this morning. And that word ministers means a devoted servant. How many, sometimes we need to be reminded of who we are serving, correct? Not our own person, not our own plan, not our own desire, but his and his kingdom. So we've been equipped, all right, with adequate power to perform as a devoted servant. And it says that we've been given this, in the King James, it says New Testament, or again, for what we read this morning, New Covenant, which basically means that we have been given a new or a superior covenant and relationship with God, one that supersedes what previously existed. How many knows that when the veil was torn, we entered into a new covenant that supersedes what previously was available to us? Amen? So sometimes we forget that we are made able and adequate with power to perform, all right? Again, being devoted servants to a God who has given us a new and a better, a more superior covenant relationship with him. And sometimes we just need to remember who it is that we're in partnership and friendship with. Amen? Now, if we go to chapter 4 and verse 1, again, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Again, the ministry, what that encompasses in that little word is this, the proclamation and the promotion of the gospel message to men. How many of you know this morning the gospel message? You've received that, correct? All right, so we know this morning that because we have received it, then we have to proclaim it and promote it among those who have not, all right? Then it goes on to, again, say that we have received mercy, and that word mercy right there denotes favor. It denotes salvation. It denotes grace that has been given by God through Christ. And how many know this morning, if we're being super honest, we've all received favor from God. We've all received salvation from God, I hope. And if you haven't, man, it is available for you today. And we have all received grace from him. Amen. So this morning, we know that we've received this amazing gospel. We know that we've received this amazing grace from him. And again, all of this led Paul to declare that because of that knowledge of the gospel and what God had called him to do and how he had empowered him to do it and how he had given him that element of favor and salvation and grace, he says that, man, I got to be honest with you, we do not lose heart. He said, because of all of those things, I have to be super honest with you. We do not lose heart. We do not faint. Does that mean that we will never face trials or difficulties? Not at all. Paul says in this very same passage, if you read in chapter 4, there's some verses there, and it says that we were hard pressed on every side. He says, not only that, we were perplexed. He goes on to say that we are persecuted and we are struck down. Does that sound like a fictitious element of trial and difficulty? That sounds like a very real trial and difficulty. And if we were being honest this morning, maybe ours don't quite feel like they add up to that after we read that. But how many knows in the moment, sometimes our trials feel just like that or worse? And so this morning, we know that that is a reality. But at the same time, while those are very real trials, while those are very real difficulties, and we as the people of God, as the children of God, we will go through those same types of trials and difficulties, it doesn't mean that we have to stay there. You see, we can't get stuck in that place of trial. We can't afford to get stuck in that place of difficulty or in that position to where we feel like, man, I cannot win for losing. Because if you find yourself in that position of saying, man, I just can't win for losing, and you feel like that's not only just in a certain area, but in every area of your life, can I tell you that the devil has you right where he wants you? And sometimes we need to wake up to that fact that right now the devil has you right where he wants you. And this week, I have to admit to you, even as your pastor, I found myself in a place feeling that very way, and it was kind of like God said, no, hey, stupid, you need to be reminded of something, of who I am and who you are in me. And see, I had somehow forgotten that. Did it mean that I had abandoned my faith and forsaken God and committed some horrible atrocity of a sin? No, I had just gotten discouraged in trying to do some things. And I felt like I couldn't win for losing, but all of a sudden he comes along and he says, hey, remember something. I know that right now you're kind of feeling like you're pressed on every side and you're perplexed and you're persecuted and you're struck down. But see, I needed to go back and I needed to read the other half of all of those things. Because when we go back and we read the other half of what Paul talks about, yes, he was in those awful trials and in positions and difficulties. But he also goes back and says, but I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed. He said, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. He said, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. And he said, I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. You see, this week, the Lord had to remind me of those things that, yes, challenges come. You fail me. People fail me. People fail you. Things happen, and you just feel like you can't win for losing, but we cannot lose sight of the reality of who we are in him, amen, and who he is to us still today. So how could Paul do that? How could Paul respond and act that way in these moments? If we really know and understand the life of Paul, we know that it wasn't a pleasant or a pretty walk for him, even being that apostle of the Lord, as he served God. We know he was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was left for dead. There are many things today that we can kind of look at his life and understand that there were plenty of moments when he could have said, man, I cannot win for losing, I'm done with this. But instead, he pins words like, we don't lose heart, we faint not. So how could he do that? You see, I think it was, he could do that because he knew what God had done, what God had made available to him through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, once he met and he encountered Jesus Christ on that road of Damascus, everything in his life began to change. Did it become puppies and sunshine and ice cream and rainbows? Absolutely not. But he fell in love with a Savior who empowered him with more than adequate power to perform. And he gave him a truth, a gospel message, a new covenant that was superior to everything that had been given in the old. You see, and that radically changed Paul's life. And can I be honest with you this morning? That should radically change our lives this morning. You see, he knew his part to play in the continued work of the gospel. You see, sometimes we run into these moments when we're not really fulfilling the work that God has called us to in promotion and proclamation of his gospel. He also knew that mercy and grace had been given to him, and he had received more than enough. In another portion of scripture, he even says, your grace is more. It is sufficient. It is more. How many this morning believe that God's grace is more than sufficient for our need? It doesn't matter what trial, it doesn't matter what difficulty we may be facing, it doesn't matter if we feel like we can't win for losing, it doesn't matter if every night that you go to sleep and you dream and your dreams turn out horrible and lackluster and you're like, I could have had a Ferrari and I got into a Pinto. It doesn't really matter, right? You see, we do not lose heart. So how did he know that God's grace and his mercy was enough? How could he declare, we don't lose heart? Again, I think he was onto some things, and I want to kind of trail back a little bit and work our way back forward to some statements that he made preceding this and then after this. I want to take you first to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Because Paul says this, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You see, it says that thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Paul knew that if he was going to experience triumph, if he was going to experience victory, it wasn't going to be in anything that he was or anything that he could produce. He knew that it was going to come from Christ. And I think sometimes we mistakenly feel like we can gain the victory or the upper hand through some other avenue. But how many know it's only Christ who can lead us in victory. It's only Christ who can lead us to that element of triumph. If you look at chapter 3, verses 17 and verse 18, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He understood that wherever the Spirit of the Lord was at work, there was liberty, and he knew that he was a housing unit for the Spirit of the Lord, that it dwelled within him, and because of that, he knew that everywhere he walked in the Spirit, there would also be liberty, not only for him, but those who would be around him. And he, in that process of walk, he was being transformed from glory to glory to glory. You see, if we go over to chapter 4, we can read verse 7, and he declared this, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, he's saying, look, I'm being filled, but what I'm being filled with has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my talents, nothing to do with my abilities, but everything to do with the excellency of the power of God at work in my life. You see, he knew where to place and put everything. You see, chapter 4 and verse 14 says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. You see, he knew again that that very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead was dwelling in him and would raise him up in that moment to do whatever was necessary and needed. It would see him through every trial. It would see him through every difficulty. How many know sometimes we just need to go back and look at the cold, hard facts? Verse 13 in chapter 4 says this, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. I think sometimes we lose heart because we forget to speak what we believe. We know it. At times we may even read it. At times we may sing about it, but do we speak it as if we believe it? Because how many knows that you can know something, but you can know it, and it can have no impact on how you live? And how many knows the way you live is what you believe? You see, God always leads me in triumph through Christ. That's what I know. That's what I believe, so I will speak it. That he always leads me in triumph. You see, I know and I believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty for my life, for your life this morning. You see, I know and I believe that I am being transformed into that same image and likeness from glory to glory by the Spirit of God this morning. I know and I believe that that very same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead today, he's working in me and he's raising me up to life. I know that and I believe that. You see, but we do get in positions where we forget that. And this week, God had to remind me of those things. And as I began to go through that, I felt like that was just for me, again, until about Thursday. And then I realized that that was something that maybe God needed to speak to his body this morning, that we need to remember who we are in him. We need to remember who he is and what he has given us. We need to look at those cold, hard facts. And we need to begin to speak what we believe. Well, I believe that. You believe what? Speak it. Say it. Don't just read it. How many knows you can pick this Bible up and you can just read it? Okay, for some of you, you don't. I can't. You can't. You can pick the Word of God up and you can just read it. It can have no impact on your soul. Oh, that's blasphemous. Is it? Because the reality is, if you approach the Word of God as a book, as a self-help, as good as maybe just good theology, if you look at it and you're like, well, it's got some good analogies, it's got some good life practice things in there. No, this is the authority. This is the very breath of God that was breathed from his mouth into written form for our life, for correction, for reproof, for all of those things. And until you look at this as the inspired word of God, and until you sit down with his Spirit who breathed that inspired word, and you say, Holy Spirit, take this word and breathe it to life in me, this will just be a book. this will just be words. But if we sit down and we say, hey, Father, I'm needing help. Holy Spirit, I'm needing help. I need you to bring this to life. I need you to remind me of who you are. Of who you are. I need you to remind me of who I am in you. And then when you begin to read these words, words like Paul wrote, that we're always in triumph because of Christ, that yes, I am pressed. I'm all of these things, but I'm also all of these good things because of who you are. You see, sometimes we just need to understand that who he is and who we are in him. Verse 16 says this, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You see, sometimes we try to do the, instead of day by day, we go week by week. Can I tell you that if you're only trying to get filled up once or twice a week, you're running on empty a lot. He said that we have the option of being renewed day by day. You see, we may get old. We may get broken. We may get crusty. We may get discouraged, depressed, dejected, worn out, tired, pressed out of measure, or a million other things. But none of that changes the gospel or the grace of God. You see, the trial that we're facing, the difficulty that we're facing, yes, it may be real. Yes, it may be ever present, and it may seem overwhelming. But can I tell you that the God that we love and serve and that loves us and has given his only son for us and filled us with his spirit, can I tell you that he's more than enough for every trial and every difficulty that we may face this morning? You see, we have to remember that we have been given a new superior covenant through Christ. And what he offers, Hebrews says, is better. It is better. Somebody say it's more gooder. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Because again, sometimes we just need to be reminded of some things. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, how many knows that that God has not changed? He's just made things better. Those promises that we find, those words that the Holy Spirit spoke to Isaiah, they're just as real and available for us today. You see, but sometimes I think our problem is we don't wait on the Lord. We're used to everything coming in a matter of minutes or seconds, and we have forgotten how to wait on the Lord. And can I tell you that when you forget to wait on the Lord, you will forget who he is and who you are in him. And then you will begin to feel like and think that I can't win for losing. Waiting on the Lord is important. Waiting on the Lord day by day by day is important. You see, that word wait, it has some pretty awesome definitions to it. They're simplistic. But it means this, it means to bind together. How many know sometimes we just need to let our heart be bound to his heart? Because that is when we are renewed. That is when we are strengthened and sustained. It means we need to, again, be bound together. It means to expect and to patiently tarry. Again, we live in a church world today that we don't have the patience to wait on the Lord because we want it done now. I would say you could go to Burger King and get it done now, but we went yesterday and that is not the case. They said, we don't have a broiler, which it means that they have nothing on the grill. No burgers, no grilled chicken. At that point, there's nothing to eat at Burger King. French fries, and they weren't even good. You would think if the only thing running in your shop was the fryer that you could produce really good French fries. They look like they're about 4 weeks old, all right? But again, we have run out of patience from a spiritual perspective, and if God doesn't answer us in a matter of moments, we give up. We're right to that mentality and thinking of, well, I guess I can't win for losing even with the Lord. How many knows his timing is perfect? And how many knows his answers are perfect? But we have to seek his answers, and then we have to obey his answers and his instructions that come. And how many know sometimes his answers don't match up with our desires? You see, we need to bind ourselves to him. We need to be able to wait patiently for him, and we need to be able to expect. Now, I got to admit, this is something I'm working on, y'all. Because I'm supposed to be the pastor, right? I'm supposed to be this man of faith. Can I tell you, sometimes oh, it's like this big, and it probably should be bigger. But the Lord has really been speaking into my heart and saying, look, expect, anticipate, because I can blow your mind. You see, and sometimes, again, we just need to speak those things. I'll be the first to admit, I have a tendency to speak what is in here, and what is in here is not always what God has put in here. If you would, stand with me this morning. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't grow weary in planting good seed, because in due season you will reap if you faint not. I don't know about you, but I feel like we're fixing to move into that season. And I can't afford to walk around with a heart or a mind or a combination thereof that says, man, we just can't win for losing. Every time we try this, it doesn't work. Every time I turn around, this is this and that is that. And can I be honest with you this morning? It's not going to work for your life either. You see, we have to come to that point where we know that what we're doing, that seed that we're planting, that investment that we are making, in due season, if we faint not, we are going to reap. And we're going to reap what we have sown, and what we have sown has been good. And I believe that this morning. But we got to shake this mentality, this sometimes, again, it comes and goes. Maybe it's not where you are this morning. But for some of us, maybe it's exactly where you are, where you just feel like you can't win for losing. But again, we have to remember that we don't lose heart. Jeez. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, we don't lose heart. Come on, say it like you mean it this morning. We don't lose heart. You see, we believe, therefore we speak. Do not forget to speak the living truth of the Word of God. Speak it daily over your life. Speak it daily over your family, over your marriage, over your job. And if you got a hobby that don't like you, speak it over that too. Speak it over your spiritual walk. Speak it over your ministry. Speak it over your church family. Don't speak your opinions. Don't speak problems. Speak life. Speak the word of God. Speak what you really believe. You see, we will wait upon the Lord, and we will renew our strength. Can I tell you that mentality did not break for me until I took the time this week to spend extra time with the Lord? I won't tell you what my wife said, but sometimes the Lord uses her too. Sometimes. I told her this scenario of how I felt like I couldn't win for losing, and that even in my dreams, I couldn't win this week. And basically, she said, suck it up. She said, stop being a victim. She's like, and start living the way that God has created you to live. That was the cleaned up pretty version. That was the rated church version. But can I tell you that I'm thankful for that woman of God in my life? Yes. I'm thankful that God placed her there and that he has spoke to me through his word, and he confirmed it through my wife. To stop feeling sorry for yourself. This is all going to work out if you're not trying to do it.
Yes.
I mean, you know, sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let God do what he does best.
Yes.
Be God. And know that what he will require of us in that process, we are abundantly equipped to do. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
And then we just need to partner with him. We need to bind ourselves together with him and then say, all right, Lord, whatever you need, here I am.
Jesus.
See, this morning, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're in a really awesome place right now. And that is so awesome for you. But maybe you're in that place where there's even just maybe one area in your life where you feel like, man, my investment, my sowing into that just seems to be so unfruitful. I just don't ever seem to be making headway. There's no return. I can't win for losing in this situation. If that's you this morning, I want to challenge you to step out from where you are. Find a place to pray and say, God, I feel this way, but I know that your word says this. And I want you to just lay that down at his feet this morning. And I want you to walk away from that knowing that you can live in triumph and victory, not because of who you are, but because of who he is and what he has placed inside of us and made available to us this morning. Maybe you're dealing with that, but it seems like it's more pronounced. It's for every area of your life. You're just going, man, Lord, I can't win for losing. Everything I do, everything I touch, everything I try to make happen, God, it's just not working. I want you to take that time this morning to come before your Heavenly Father and just begin to pour your heart out. Reposition yourself in him. Refocus what you really believe and begin to speak that truth. Let that life be what you need it to be this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, I can't think of a better time to come and surrender your life to him. Let him change you, transform you. If you've just been away for a long time and you feel like you need to rededicate your life to him, feel free this morning to come forward. It would be an honor and a privilege to pray with you. This morning, maybe you're just in that spot where maybe you've had those ups and downs where you just felt like you couldn't win for losing. Let me tell you this morning, you're not a loser because our God is not a loser. Amen. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is victor over all. And he says you can walk and share in that victory. But sometimes we just need to refocus our heart, refocus our mind, and look at the reality of what we have and who we are in him, and remind ourselves we do not lose heart. If that's you, as they play and sing this morning, I want you to come. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. God, I thank you for how you are already at work. God, I pray that we would be submissive to your Holy Spirit this morning. God, that our hearts would be yielded unto you in every way. God, that your perfect work could be done in this house regardless of the need that may need to be met today. Father, I just pray that you would come. And God, let us be reminded, Lord, of your grace. God, of that free gift of salvation. God, of the amazing favor that has been given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, move upon our hearts this morning, I pray in Christ's name.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.